Hey, everybody.
Morning.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for being here.
It's very neutral, as we discover sometimes. Can't do one without the other. Giving and receiving are the same.
That's right.
That's true.
So we could take a moment with Unity's prayer of light. The light of God surrounds us. The love of God enfolds us. The power of God protects us. And the presence of God watches over us. Wherever we are, God is. A couple of ideas I wanted to share before we get into the actual reading today. One is that one of the things that struck me is in my continuing study of Paul and the guide's work is that there's a difference between what the little self, the ego self, the intellectual self is shooting for, and what the soul is working on. I wouldn't even say attaining, but let's say being in its knowing with. For instance, if we were to say, I want peace in the world, which we all do, I would think, then, you know, what happens is that the mind and the ego sort of paints a picture of what that's going to look like. Oh, there's going to be no more wars, everybody's going to be hugging one another, and we're just going to be shaking hands. And that's all very nice, but that's not it. It really goes further than that. Much further than that. Because all of this stuff in the material world, and I'm just, by the way, I'm just spouting off what I'm learning right now. All this stuff in the material world is simply window dressing for a deeper and inner reality. It's our teacher. How am I going to look at this? How am I going to hold this without making it too much reality or the only reality that I am living in? And so whenever we get a picture or an idea of what we think, let's say, the kingdom is supposed to be, I want to honor that. But I also want to realize that that picture is probably coming from my limited ego self. And that what my picture is of the kingdom is probably much less than what it really is. And so I need to open myself even more. I say, yes, I'm very grateful for that image, for that picture, okay? But that's sort of the roof of the Sistine Chapel, okay? And that's very nice and very beautiful, but it's really not what is. And I think that's what's going on here with these readings, is that they're constantly sort of pushing us past those images that the mind creates, even though they feel very satisfactory, okay, to the thinking mind. But again, that's not what it is. So it's not rejecting that or throwing that away so much. It's just realizing that what I am perceiving right now, or what I am holding on to as an image or an idea, is a reflection of my limited self. And that's perfectly okay, but I want to recognize that as being a reflection of my limited self. I came across a reading which will actually serve as a meditation this morning. I was wondering whether to do it now or in the end. I think I'll do it now. It's from a book that one of my teachers has me working with. And it's a channeled work many, many years ago. So it's kind of interesting. The way the language comes out is a little bit... it's a little bit odd, but don't let that throw you, because I think your heart will understand what that means. So if you wouldn't mind just taking a moment to take a couple of breaths and just settle in. You can close your eyes if you want to, don't have to, as we share this piece. It is called Come Into This Vibration of Good. In this consciousness of love, in this time of attempting to understand one to the other, to realize where their walking is in this time, we would ask that you bring that vibration of healing that in your mind and in truth, there is health in this place. There is here no pain. There is no false energy. There is only the good, the true, and the beautiful. Into this vibration of good brings those ones who have not the knowledge to help the self yet. Bring them to this place, to this temple of truth, to this oasis of peace. Let them be in this time a part of our healing, a part of our knowing. Picture them within your mind's eye as you would wish them to be, as they are in truth, and possibly you have not seen them to be. See them in a great strength, with vigor, with energy. See them in laughter, accomplishing their good, answering the call of their own soul. And in this moment of time, say to them, that thing which you have come to have done is here. Look upon it. See yourself fulfilled, happy, and buoyant. In this moment of time, see these things that you have come to do as things of joy, as things of finishing, of things that need not be done ever again. See the rejoicing on their face as they accept this challenge, as they remember this promise to soul, as they place from them the physical illness, as they place from them the emotional disturbance, as they place from them all fear, all doubt, and they know that they are one with all good. See the difference in their standing. Touch them, that you may feel the vibration of their good. See them. Acknowledge your touching, the knowing that they are one with you and with all highness and your joy and your searching. Rejoice with them that there is in this place a banquet of rejoicing for everyone. And you accept this good and see them accepting it, and together for truth you will stand throughout eternity, and it is done. We are being offered some powerful, powerful lessons these days of not getting lost in our personality self and not getting lost in somebody else's personality self. And how quickly, I don't know about you, but how quickly judgment can form. And judgment is simply another form of separation. Okay, it is another form of illusion. It is another form of putting somebody out of the kingdom. And of course, as soon as I put somebody out of the kingdom, I put myself out too. How does that line of the song go? You can't keep your brother in the light or in the dark and expect to see the light. Isn't that cool? You can't keep your brother in the dark. And so as I was doing this reading the first time, I was picturing some political figures without mentioning any names. And what was really fascinating was I was going, oh. It wasn't just, oh God, let me see beyond. You know, that's more of a wish. What actually happened is I was doing that meditation, I was able to get in that vibration, in that awareness. that here is a person or people who are attempting in their own ways, without me judging them, of accomplishing their good, of fulfilling their karma, of doing whatever it is they came here for. And that, as Ram Dass says so many times, it's all perfect. You know, which really pisses me off, all right, because it doesn't really feel that way. It's all perfect. And what is imperfect is my perception and my judgment that makes it so. Because I want to be right. And of course, by being right, I make everybody else wrong. Now, obviously, this requires effort. But it's more of the effort of letting go of something than creating something. The creation of you as a divine soul is already here. The creation of Donald as a divine soul is already here. It's already happened. There's nothing you can do to unmake that from happening. Now, my perception, letting go of the perceived judgments that I have, the right, the wrong, the judgment, the labels of all this other stuff, that's what requires the work. And it's again, it's a very close reflection of what it talks about in The Course in Miracles. Which is not about learning something, it's about unlearning a whole lot of things. And in my defenselessness is where my protection is. When I am willing to let go of judgment and fear and all of those other things that feed into that. And that fits right into the prayer, the affirmation on page 320, where we will begin today. Unless there's anything anybody want to mention, to look at, to heal, to question, to look at a little bit more deeply. Yeah, Bill?
I've just been thinking recently about the judgment thing, and I've kind of, for my own self, I've come to the conclusion that when I'm in judgment mode, it's being driven out of fear.
Exactly so. It always is. My necessity of being right is also a very, which is kind of an underlying subscript there. Okay, it is always out of fear, because oh my God, what would happen to me if I'm wrong? It'd be like somebody. I think I related this one time when I was giving retreats a number of years ago. Somebody asked me, Jerry, has anybody ever asked you a question you didn't have an answer to? And that, I said, well, that one. Okay. But it was really interesting, because I really had to take a step back and say, oh my God, I've got an answer for everything. Or I think I do. Now, what's better about that, I believe, is that the information that flows to me and through me is probably much less tainted by ego consciousness than it might have been a few years ago. It's still there. I will not certainly say it's not, right? And there's always, I hope I give myself this opportunity when somebody asks me something, that I allow a little bit of space between the question and the answer, so that it's not just Jerry in his imperial wisdom speaking or pontificating from the throne up here someplace. I am now choosing to release all of the creations that I hold that are impacting my ability to have a loving relationship with another. I am now choosing to release established patterns that are containing me in historical pain, in fear, or in ways that do not align with my demonstrating a healthy and loving relationship. I am now choosing to do this in accordance with my own highest good, and I am living my life in my love. I am word through this intention. Word, I am word. That is so beautiful. And at the end of that, you can say, free at last, thank God Almighty, I'm free at last.
That's That's what I said when my husband pulled out of the driveway.
I remember you saying that, okay? Echoing Doreen's words as well as Martin Luther King's, right? Thank God Almighty. Goodbye, good luck. So what we're doing is, and this is a key to awareness, or one of the, I would say probably the benefit or the bonus of awareness. Awareness just by itself is just awareness. However, when we allow ourselves to be aware, we can become, I can't think of another word here, so I'm going to use it again. We become aware of patterns of thought and behavior that no longer serve us. Okay? Now, sometimes what will happen in your spiritual work is they will drop off by themselves without you even thinking about them. Have you ever been confronted with a circumstance that you respond to differently than you might have before, and you go, oh, that's interesting. That's not there anymore. You know, whatever that judgment was or whatever that pattern of behavior was, I'm doing this differently than I was before. So that apple fell off the tree, all right? Or that piece of behavior fell off because I just fell off by attrition. I just didn't use it a whole lot. So here this goes into really in detail what we are talking about when we're speaking of the work really is releasing something rather than creating something. And in some ways, what will happen in the release of a pattern of behavior or thought is that there will be a transformation. That there will be times that anger will be transformed into compassion. Because if you look at it closely, you are never going to be angry about something you don't really care about. Okay? Now, if a tree fell on my car, I would really care about that. If a tree fell on my neighbor's car, I would say, oh, that's too bad. But I would not be emotionally involved in that. I would be real angry about mine because I love my car.
You have an attachment.
I have an attachment, exactly. Okay. But anger can be transformed. The flip side of anger is really my caring, my compassion. And again, I don't want to create another attachment about that, but compassion directed towards another person is not an attachment, it's an open-heartedness. It's the realization that I know what that's like. And I can be here for you, I can be here with you. Now, if you would imagine all of the apples are coming off the tree. Now, if you don't want to use apples, you can use any image you like. My favorite is kind of sandbags falling off a hot air balloon. All right, just dropping those off and letting it fly. But the demonstration we are trying to teach you is those are things that have been created that you hold that are obstructing your ability to be in love in a healthy and healing way. And we will tell you this. As you see what these things are, you can begin to work with them in frequency. In other words, when I raise my frequency, when I decide I am going to, and again, this is a more than a thought, when I say I am going to release that piece of anger or that resentment. Now, those are words, but I might have to put that in action inside myself. I might say I might need to pray for that person. I might need to put that resentment on the altar and say, God, this is too big for me to handle. I can't handle this all by myself. Or I keep falling into this trap. Instead of walking down another street, I keep falling into the hole in the sidewalk, right? And so I need grace here. I need a deeper awareness that I'm not doing this all by myself, because none of this we're doing all by myself. I think I'll drop all the apples off my tree. That's an ego trip. I think I will realize the necessity of letting go what no longer serves me. That's my soul speaking. I might not know how to do that. And so I release even that. I release my attachment to knowing how to do that. and say, you know, Lord, Lord, I believe, help thou my unbelief. God is doing for us what we could not do for ourselves. Or the divine within, put it in our language, okay, the divine within me is doing what my mind can't do. Because my mind couldn't do that to begin with. And so I'm letting go of another layer of control or perception in my life. We have given you the image of a river. And we have talked to you about boulders and tree trunks and things that stop you on your path. This is more of the same. And we tell you this, if you are walking along a path at night, sometimes you stumble across something and it stops you, and you don't know what it is. And your flashlight might not illumine the object to the degree that you require to see it fully for what it is. But if you wait a few hours, the sun will shine, and you can see it in its wholeness, and you can clear it through this intention. I am now choosing to release that obstacle on my path to a healthy and loving relationship. I am word through this intention. Word, I am word. It doesn't happen in my time. Things are not going to be transformed by my impatience. If that were true, I would be floating right now. Okay? They are transformed when I am in alignment with my soul's energy around that transformation. Can you get a sense of that? I wasn't sure where this was coming, but it's right here, right now. This is another poem from Shel Silverstein. And I was tempted to pick it up this morning, and I did. I had no idea where it was going to wind up, but here it is. It's called Jimmy Jack John. Oh, where are you going, my Jimmy Jack John, with only the moon for your light? I'm going round in search of the dawn, and I'll probably be gone most of the night. Oh, why are you crying, my Jimmy Jack John, and why do you stare out to sea? I'm thinking that over the waves of the pond, the dawn lies awaiting for me. But why do you wander, my Jimmy Jack John, a roaming in search of the blue? Just wrap yourself tight in this blanket of night, and the dawn will come to you. Oh. So here I am with my flashlight. Let me find out what this is. Let me figure this out. And if I can figure it out, if I can paint a picture of it, then maybe I'll be able to beat the hell out of it and let it go. No. Oh God, I'm discovering a block on my pathway and I don't know exactly what it is. Lord, that I may see. Let me see this with the eyes of the Christ. And I might have to wait a while. I mean, that's only my limited perception. It says, well, you have to wait a while. But that, you know, that it might happen that way. Reveal the truth of this to me so I can release it completely in its truth. And that prayer will be heard. It will be listened to. It will be answered. Not in your time, not in linear time, but in the time when your soul is in alignment with the truth of that release. Because I am still holding on to it. You know why? Because it still has something to teach me. I will not let you go until you bless me. Or I still think it has something to teach me. See, that's another twist on it. I've got this job that I hate. Well, should I leave? Should I stay? Well, I hate it, so I must have to work through all my stuff to be able to get out of this job. Or let's say I'm in an abusive relationship. Should I stay? Well, because I haven't worked through all my stuff, so I guess I should stay here. Well, I don't think so. Do you have to work out your stuff in an abusive relationship? Maybe, maybe not. But you certainly don't need to degrade yourself in order to be able to heal. But see, again, I have to be ready to do that. Right? I have to be ready to quit smoking. I have to be ready to quit drinking. I have to be ready to quit whatever it is my attachment might be that is getting in my way. Okay? I might have to let go or quit thinking this particular way. Now it might keep cropping up again. Oh, there it is again. But it's almost funny now when it comes up. I said, look how I'm getting sucked into that guy again. Look how I'm getting sucked into somebody else's personality self again. Now I can get out of the cat and nine tails and start whipping myself, because I've done that enough too. I've got scars on my back from that one, okay? Or I can say, oh, there it is again. Interesting. There it is again. Let me let this one go. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for reminding me that I was just about to walk into the quicksand again of getting lost in my personality self or somebody else's.
I want to ask you something.
So the next time I see a photograph of a vehicle which has smashed into a crowd of people, instead of thinking, oh my God, you know, what's wrong with this person? I mean, I'm blaming the driver. I'm really angry and feeling very sad for the people who are now dead, or their people who love the people who are dead.
Mm-hmm.
So would I get to the place where I would be taking a deep breath when I see this and start praying for this driver who is obviously mentally ill or whatever the deal might be? Is that a way I will know that I'm stepping into where I really need to be, instead of cursing the driver and being, you know, really outraged mm-hmm. about this?
My impression of that, my sense of that is, of course, my first reaction to something like that is usually outrage and anger. Like a bumper sticker I saw years ago, if you're not outraged, you're not paying attention. And I remember when I saw that, I said, yeah, that's right, right on. And then I said, where's my outrage getting me? And so we're going to get to that in a moment, what you're asking. But, you know, I'm not denying my normal, everyday human emotions, right? I'm just not making them into the truth. Or I'm not letting them be in charge of me. So I'm not going to deny that piece, right? But what we are suggesting here is to stop for a moment. And yes, if I need to grieve, if I need to pray for, I grieve for those who are in pain. I have compassion for those who are in pain. I'm not denying that either. At the same time, I am also recognizing how much pain this individual must have to be in to be able to do something like that. How much wrapped in illusion or delusion and pain must an individual have to be able to do an act of outrage or an act like that? And then I remember what a teacher of mine said one time after an act like that happened. She said something really wonderful that I keep thinking about. She said, all we see is the person who rammed into that crowd. But because of your prayers and your light and the higher vibration you are sending to the world, hundreds walked away from doing that. How many hundreds walked away from doing that? Not just the one that did. Now, I don't know that with my intellectual mind, but I can feel the truth of that. And that is because of the vibrational level we are doing for ourselves as well as for others. And so there's any number of levels of awareness here. There is my first level of awareness are how I emotionally respond to this situation. Okay? And then the next level of awareness is, I will hold these people in compassion and light, the ones who are hurt, the ones who are injured. I will hold the horror I feel about that event, the sadness that I feel. I will allow myself to be there. And then I will realize on another level of my being, I am angry and upset and all kinds of other things at this individual who seems to be the one who has perpetrated this event. And then I will allow my vibration of how I perceive that individual to raise up. Not that I am accepting that event as being acceptable, but I am raising my image of that personality into one of compassion, of one to realization, of one to mystery. I don't know why this happened. Maybe when I drop my body, I will understand the meaning of this. But right now, I don't. But I will not hold this person outside of the light. And I will recognize that it would have to be somebody who would need to be in terrible pain in order to be able to do something like this. And I'll hold that there too. And so I will work with this on whatever level of realization or vibration comes to me. And then what I will do is I will be open to whatever other perceptions or insights might need to come to me because of this event. I won't say, oh, that's finished. I work through my anger, I work through my compassion, I work through this. Now that's done. Because there's always going to be some more layers that are going to come up for me. And that's going to be part of my own healing. That's going to be part of my own realization. So that when I, as it says in the Course, and it says here too in so many ways, there will come a time when we will no longer have the perception of hate or war. That will just no longer be a possibility. Well, I'm not there yet. Well, let's put it this way, I don't think I'm there yet. Does that help to answer that, I think? Hopefully.
Yeah.
One of my teachers talks about an African tribe that in their practice, they everyone is part of the group. So it's kind of a family constellations thing that no one is excluded. And what it boils down to is, I hold you accountable, but I still hold you.
Thank you. The way Neem Karoli Baba put that, Ram Dass's guru, he said, Ram Dass, it's okay to be angry at somebody, but never put anybody out of your heart. Oh. It's okay to be angry, but don't put anybody out of your heart. Thank you. Just take all that in. No, you don't have to understand it. Something just opened up for me there. I'm not quite sure what it was, but I'm glad. Maybe I was putting somebody out of my heart. Open heart, closed heart. It's like that Buddhist school that's called the Big Boat. So the boat doesn't leave until everybody's on it. Well, of Course in Miracles put it, the Christ, Jesus the Christ, right, is not going to completely dissolve into oneness, right, until everybody's through the door. Okay? I'm not going home until everybody's going home. We have talked about emotions. We have talked about emotions as ways that you identify the self as who you are. You feel a certain way, so you decide that this must be a certain thing that you have an attraction to, or are repelled by, or whatever you like. But you systematize yourself based on your emotional responses. But you still don't always know how much of your emotional response is authentic to you and how much of it is inherited intellectual information. if I see someone like that, do something like that, I should feel like that. That is taught behavior. That is what you have gained by being in collective agreement. So you might as well begin now to learn what you truly feel and not what you think you should feel. And then you can work with your emotions more effectively. That's kind of a great piece of psychotherapy in one sentence, all right? But how do you work with them on a day-to-day level to support the self in maintaining high frequency? We have already told you that your consciousness is your frequency. And it is your obligation, finally, to keep your frequency high. So claiming I am word through what you feel will support you in realigning your feelings to the higher frequency. This is just great. I am word through this feeling of rage. I am word through this worry. I am word through this sadness. Believe it or not, will incur frequency response into the energetic bodies that correlate to the emotions, to the mind. That is how it works. These are not just words we are speaking. We are claiming our truth as divine consciousness. And so we're not denying how my normal or everyday human response might come through. But we are suggesting that that can be transformed. And it's not transformed by my mind. I am word through my outrage. Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Okay? Can we understand that with the thinking mind? Probably not. I'm worried about my physical body. I'm worried about having an illness here or there. I am word through my body. Word, I am word. It raises my vibration of my perception of who I am, and it also raises the vibration of how I am holding the physical body. And when the vibration is raised, as we have talked about before, those negative energies can no longer cling to that. You know, we learn that in 12-step recovery. A lot of times we'll continually go back to gratitude. And one of the reasons for that is when you are in a state of gratitude, those other things cannot cling to you. I cannot be holding on to a resentment when I'm grateful. Okay, it just doesn't work, right? Those neuroreceptors are taken up, okay? You know, nothing's gonna hold on to those. I can't do that. It doesn't work that way. And so when I am in a higher vibration of thought or of action, right, those things of lower vibration can no longer cling to me. Now, for most of us, they're still waiting in the wings. Okay, they're in the closet someplace. They're still kind of waiting to jump out. Right? But if my vibration level is kind of continually raised up, they're going to lose more and more energy just simply by attrition. Right? And they're no longer going to be meaningful or viable to you or me in my life. We might not be conscious of that release, but it will be there. Yeah.
I had a question about the things that drop away. In Buddhism, nothing is all things. It's being able to hold all things, and that's where nothingness is.
Mm-hmm.
And the image you talked about, a boat, and the image that I always kind of work with is everybody's on the bus. It's kind of a dissociative identity disorder, except we're aware of it, except we're not fully aware of it. Otherwise,
we'd all be on the bus, right?
Yes. And so it's so if I notice that I'm exhibiting a behavior that I judge myself on, and or just notice that I'm judging, then I, it's like, okay, who's driving the bus? And I try to give that self, you know, which exists for a reason because of something that has happened in my path. I give them a place on the bus, but I say, you can't drive. And so when you say things drop away, we're not pushing them off the bus. We're just saying we're wrecking. I mean, it's kind of like a witness state then. Is that what it's saying? And that it just, and it loses, they don't need to drive the bus anymore.
I don't need to let them.
Yeah, yeah.
But the other thing that's happening that's a little bit more subtle, and I really appreciate that, is that we realize that what we are letting go of, what we're dropping off, was an illusion in the first place. Okay? Because it's usually another form of making you separate from me. Yeah. Right? And so what my fear or my judgment or whatever level that might have been taking that I was attached to as being real or being right, that I am releasing or letting go of, I realize after a certain, when my vibration is up, is, well, that wasn't true to begin with. So in truth, I'm not letting go of anything. I'm kind of letting go of a nothing, right? That only my mind created as being a reality. So it gets really interesting that the higher up you go, oh, well, I thought I was letting go of an attachment, but I was attached to something that wasn't even there in the first place. It's kind of funny when you think about it, right? Except the ones that drag you down. Okay, and then it's not funny anymore. If you don't have a sense of humor, it's not funny. But that paragraph reminded me of something that I had forgotten about wording through something. You feel stuck, word through it. Word, I am word through my stuckness. Word, I am word through my outrage. Word, I am word through my attachment to this person's personality self. And again, what the mind thinks is, oh, I'm reinforcing that. But no, you're not, okay? What you're saying is, Lord, that I may see this. Lord, that I may see this differently. Lord, that I may see this as a trap. Lord, that I may see this as an illusion. And I'm willing to see this differently. I'm willing to hold this differently. When you are wording through your kneecaps, you are sending the frequency to your knees. When you are word through your worry, you are sending the frequency of word to support you in aligning that energy field that would hold the worry to a higher frequency. Can you get that? It is really that simple. Now, once again, please understand that you are the one in charge here. You are driving the bus. And your emotions, regardless of what you think, are things that you have a big say about. You are not controlled by them. You might have them. You might not be in control of what pops up for you, but you don't have to let that be in control. That's a way to keep yourself small by thinking that your feelings control you. But that is not to say that you should not have your feelings. We want you to have your feelings. They're an aspect of you. We simply want you to know that you can work with them. If you suppress your emotions, if you deny them, you can manifest disease. That is one of the primary ways that problems occur in physical form. That is not to blame anybody. It's simply talking about what happens when frequency is not allowed to flow and things get blocked. So if you're feeling outrage, you're feeling outrage. But there's a way of allowing that to transform. Word, I am word through my outrage. Not figuring out, but just claiming that as being the truth and letting the sun rise. We are trying to move you into alignment again through this work. And our mission is to see you as healed of that which ails you. So we will do this work with you now. If we can say this one together. I am now choosing to align myself to my own healing of body, mind, and spirit. I am now choosing to activate frequency to bring all of my energy bodies into perfect alignment and healing. I am affirming that my body is healed as well. I am word through this intention. Word, I am word. I am now choosing to believe that I am worthy of my healing, and I am aligning myself to that which I require to make this so. Word, I am word. Now we would like to talk very briefly about Christ consciousness and what that is. When you see someone else in their perfection, you are seeing them in Christ. When you see a situation that appears to be in distortion, and you see it in its perfection, you are in the Christ. When you see yourself as an aspect of the Creator, and you see your fellows as the same, you are in the Christ. When we speak of healing today, either physical or emotional healing, you are operating at Christ consciousness. When you see the one as healed before you, when you are seeing them in the spiritual perfection, well, you are seeing them in spiritual perfection. If the body does not take the energy to work with, the energy field will, and will tell you each, everyone is loved, and everyone will be held in love at the end of this journey. The existence in the body in corporeal form is a system of experience, and one chapter, as has been said, in a grand book. So you are living a life today, you will always be alive someplace, and we are working with you here today in your consciousness to support you in your growth and your healing. We honor you each, and we will stop for today. The title of this chapter is Healing in Christ Consciousness. I am Word, I am Word, I am Word. Stop now, please. Just to offer you a for instance. Last year, a very troubled young man stayed for a prayer service in a Baptist church and shot 7 or 8 black people. The upshot of that was that the Confederate flag came down from that flagpole. And then it started coming down from all of the flagpoles. And then the monuments built, sort of in recognition of the Civil War or slavery, started being dismantled, which we are still feeling or experiencing some of the reaction or response to. I believe that that minister actually gave his life for that to happen. And it's still reverberating right now. And you can see the difference in vibration that is being caused on one level as well as others. Some choosing a lower vibration, some choosing a higher. But that was one of those places where the insight of, which is beyond my human understanding, kind of went, oh, maybe that's a little bit of what that's about, in a way that my mind cannot comprehend. Right? But something happening from that horrendous act that sparks a huge, huge, almost immeasurable movement that again can raise vibration as well as lower it, depending upon what our choice might be. So I just want to leave you with that thought before we close today. I thank you all again. Blessings. See you next week. Okay. Don't forget Jimmy, Jack, John. Wait for the dog. All I had to do was wave.